Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for this games on Monday, the 14th of December. On a day where the cups are starting to happen and people are starting to lose out on their NBA career, but your box score analysis, your fantasy analysis won't go anywhere. I am your host, Scotty. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. I'm joined by always my magnificent co-host. I'm using big words today. Magnificent. Mr. Jolly of Sydney. You can find him on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. Mr. J, hello.
Mate, I've got to start by apologising for my voice. I sound a bit like a mixture of Joe Cocker and the bloody crocodile hunter right here.
No Thor today, no deep arousing voice like Thor.
shout out to the guy from the league that I drop a lot of voice messages into the league chat. I often drop voice messages because, like Dan, our wonderful guest today, I have kids, which mean I'm holding them with one hand and dropping voice messages or voice to text with the other. So a guy said I sound like Thor. I'm very sorry. I'm more Joe Cocker today, mate.
Oh, that's okay. And look, you've just said who our guest is. I'm super duper excited. The boss man. We call him the Podfather. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Bespris, or if that's just too hard, go to Google Dan from Hoopball. You will find him. Hello, Dan Bespris. Welcome to the Box Score Breakdown yet again. I know you've been on here before, but not with us. So thanks for joining us.
Of course, yeah, it's my pleasure. I gotta say, if that's Mr. Jolly, if that's the beat up version of your voice, people are about to, they're going to need to turn the bass down when they listen to this thing. you're gonna be like rattling people's office chairs.
You wait till I start doing my intros, you know, hailing from parts unknown.
Oh, Bruce Buffer, watch out, Mr. Jolly on. on the case. So look, while we've got the host of the great podcast, the Fantasy NBA Today, and of course, might I add, we are presented by Hoopball, as is Fantasy NBA Today, and a shout out to all the big guys, including Dan. We'll get stuck into some fantasy analysis while we've got Dan on the show today. So let's kick it off. You said the only thing interesting about the preseason, and we are in the preseason, is who's missing with injuries. Why is that your outlook, Dan?
Well, I mean, the preseason is, and I always get in trouble when I try to make blanket statements, because once you hit a certain threshold of people that are paying attention to what you do, you pretty much can't do anything without someone finding some measure of fault with it. So I have to toe the line a little bit. But for the preseason in general, you're going to see a lot of guys get run that don't get run during the regular season, because they're just guys sitting out. And, you know, I think a good example of this right now is someone like Talen Horton Tucker on the Lakers, who's been brilliant in the preseason so far. And by the way, let me also mention Kyle Kuzma has been very good for the Lakers in the preseason. But as great as they've looked, and THT, like his skill level is solid. Folks that watched the bubble, he had that, it was like 1 8-minute burst. I think it was against the Rockets where he was great. He can knock down shots offensively. He's gifted, but people forget who's not playing in these games. So for me, the thing you're watching for in the preseason is to make sure the guys that you like already don't have something going wrong with them. I think a good example of that right now would be someone like a Brandon Clark or a Derek White on San Antonio, guys that aren't in preseason games yet, where we didn't even really know until 10 days ago that these guys were banged up. But now all of a sudden, you know, hey, is this going to be something that lingers into the season? Do I need to be more careful with this guy? Very infrequently do you see someone pop up in the preseason that carries it over. I think Devontae Graham last year might be one of the only examples in the last half decade of someone that was like, oh, okay, that guy might actually play during the regular season. Otherwise, don't overreact. Find out who's hurt, who's not, and take that into your drafts. And have your drafts late, going very close to opening night. Draft your fantasy teams late so you know as much as you can about this stuff and you don't get burned by some weird injury thing.
So don't draft Harry Giles in the first round?
That's another really good example. He has skill. I mean, he had skill. We saw he put up fantasy numbers in limited minutes, even in Sacramento, but there was a reason he was buried third, fourth on a clunky depth chart. And now he goes to a place where there are proven NBA players sitting in front of him in line. It's just not, the opportunity doesn't carry over when everybody's healthy and playing and when they go against better competition. It doesn't stick. Now, you know, I will say, and you guys are going to have to cut me off from time to time because I talk too much. And I'm used to talking to myself, so no one stops me. Someone like Harry Giles, this is good to know. File it in the back of your head in case something happens. Say Nurk gets hurt or a couple people potentially get hurt.
Kanto, as Jolly right. reminded us, you know, if he gets injured, then there's a bigger bench role for Giles potentially at Portland.
Exactly. Yeah. Watch for guys getting hurt. It's just something to file in the back of your head as this is a guy that can put up numbers in limited minutes. We sort of knew that about him already, but at least now we know that they're perhaps a little more confident in rolling him out there in those spots, but it's really more plug and play than it is full season.
So who are the guys you're keeping an eye out with regards to injuries in this preseason at the moment, Dan?
So the two that I mentioned, Derek White with his toe in San Antonio, Brandon Clark, I think it's, is it a groin or a hip? Something in the mid area.
Midsection.
midsection thing. You know, those are probably the two that jumped out to me because, you know, these are guys where you're looking for dudes that are maybe drafted in the middle rounds, not late necessarily, or kind of like mid-late somewhere in that neck of the woods. There are the high-profile injuries. We already know Kristaps Porzingis is not going to be there to start the year. We already know Jaren Jackson Jr. is not going to be there to start the year. So those are guys that I'm just avoiding. I am, most seasons, I'm pretty bent on avoiding those guys. I might make the ever-so-slight exception, but this year, no chance. I know
risk,
that it...
The risk-averse Dan Vesperus.
Oh, yes. Do not saddle me with that. 1 year, I broke my rule. And I know that this is, you know, the magic of small sample size for my own team in this respect. But if you start your year with an injured player, in addition to what happens with them, you know, Paul George is a good example of this last year. He sort of had stuff all season long. He was never fully right because their training camp gets blown up. They try to get back into the game too quickly. Something else goes wrong. They don't ramp up at the right pace. There's this desire to get in and go at full steam, and they just keep hurting themselves. It ends up costing them almost an entire season, at least playing at the normal capacity these guys can play. There are exceptions on the other side. I'm willing to admit that. Russell Westbrook, some 4 years ago, I think, in Oklahoma City, he missed like two games, and he was supposed to miss 3 weeks, and then he was just good the rest of the year. But most of the time, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is a nice example of this. If he's not right at the beginning of the year, there's no guarantee he will ever be right this season. And then with JJJ, these guys are going to miss more games, and other guys on your team this year in particular with COVID, other guys are going to miss games. You just can't afford to be taking zeros and missing out on early draft picks at the beginning of the season when you got to build a little bit of a cushion. It's just too horrifying this year. Your early picks need to play. That is got to be the big rule this year. You need games out of the guys you're spending on draft day.
Mr. Jolly, what's your thoughts? Are you a bit risk averse when it comes to fantasy drafting and injured players? I know Zinger is on a few of your teams. So that would indicate probably a no.
Firstly, I'm glad you didn't pause too long after you said, are you risk averse to fantasy? Because you've got to make sure you don't leave a pause too long after that, because I might start answering your questions in ways that viewers, that listeners are not expecting. I am probably, look, I have Zinger. I'll be completely honest with you. I drafted Zinger in a hoopball league not realizing there was no IR. So I have sent some hasty messages to Andre, the wonderful man who is arranging a lot of these hoopball fantasy leagues. And if you didn't get him one this year, you should next. And I was like, I drafted Porzingis and Derek White. And then I went to move Porzingis onto IR. And I was like, oh, there's no IR. What? That's a bit odd. Oh, maybe they're going to turn it on right before the season. And I messaged him and he said, there's no IR. So now I've got Porzingis. I've got Derek White, who might miss a few games at the start of the season. I had to drop my late round breakout guys, two of them, and pick up solid guys. So I think I picked up Melo, and I might have picked up even RJ Barrett because he's going to stuff some stat categories. And I dropped a KK and one of my other breakout guys who I took at the end. It might have even been Keldon Johnson or someone like that, who's also injured. So that was a bit of like a radical reworking that was required. Short answer, I'm willing, in leagues where I think I'm going to make the playoffs, I'm willing to stash Porzingis for sure, but not in more than one or two leagues. It's the same thing with Kyrie. I've been grabbing Kyrie. God, in the league yesterday, I got Kyrie at like 30. Mm. I can't say no there, but now I've got three Kyries. That's as much as I can handle. That's as much as I can handle. No more Kyrie. Yeah. Right?
You're running out of two person team at that point, you know. Unfortunately, but no, I agree with you. I know that there's another question here. When a guy falls a certain distance, it sort of changes the trajectory of it. But at least Kyrie is healthy to start the year. You're gonna miss games mid season, but at least he's gonna start the year for you.
But I mean, let's nickels and dimes. I got Porzingis at pick 75. Too early?
Yeah, I still don't even know if I could. That's probably where you could consider it. But I mean, there's. His issues are just so massive. Head-to-head league, he's pretty tough to roster. I think Roto, you can make a better case with a games cap. You know, if you can just squeeze 45 games out of him with your seventh-round pick, that makes some sense because he could be rolling along at a second-round guy when he's healthy. But if you need your guy on the floor, say for your fantasy playoffs, or if you're in an unlimited games format in head-to-head and he's just throwing up zeros every other week, that'll kill you.
So summary is watch what's happening when he comes back in January, and also look where I am in the standings, because at some point I may have to drop him. I'm pretty good at, I'm worked the waiver wire like an absolute frog in a sock. So I back myself to get out of jail if I need to. There's a few metaphors for you, Scotty.
And I saw on Twitter this morning, Dan, this afternoon, depending on where you are in the world, that someone said Triple J at 59, is that too early, Dan?
Mm, yeah, it's too early for me. I mean, he has a really good chance to beat that mark, by the way. So I should clarify when I say it, but it's that same thing for me where even if his final season totals value does exceed that mark, I'm not going to be happy with the way it gets there. I need a guy that's going to get me games played at the start of a season. I mean, top 60 is actually probably pretty close to where he's at. I don't know that with the injury, he can go a whole lot higher. I don't see any path for him to rebound much more this year. So it's really going to have to be he stays on the floor once this knee thing goes away. But yeah, that's actually a little bit early for him for me. I've almost written him off completely because I'm so certain he's going to get drafted before I would consider him that he's just not even really on my board. He's just, he'll be gone. I'm it'll be 99.9%. He will be gone by the time I would consider drafting him.
Quickly, we need to pause the show for an announcement, and it's a fun one. It's free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. What's the free stuff? The Bruise Letter is back. Oh, yes. Back and fresh for the 2021 NBA season. Our founder, Aaron Brewski, is writing an email newsletter filled with his most intimate fantasy nuggets. Not the Denver Nuggets, fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content you cannot find anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on the podcast. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter. And you can sign up and get it for free. Just go to bit.ly/BrewsLetter2021. That's Brew, B-R-E-W-S, and then letter 2021, and sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is bit.ly/BrewsLetter2021. Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. And Mr. J mentioned some buzz guys. He'd have to drop some of them at the end of his drafts. Who are some of the buzz guys you're getting nagged with, Dan, especially on Twitter, where everyone's nagging you with all those questions around, I'm at pick 10, who should I take? Things like that. Who are the buzz guys you're getting asked about?
So I'll say this. I actually like when people are asking me about players. I think that's fun. I think there's a good discussion to have on almost every player in the NBA. The ones that kill me are when people just take a screenshot of their team. And I don't know what order you got these guys in. You know, you've got your, because of the when teams are playing because of schedule, there might be your first round pick at the bottom of your bench. And you might have your last guy like featured in the image you send me. So if you're going to send me a team, please send me the draft order. I need to know when you got these guys. That's how I'll know if it was a value or not. Now, in terms of the folks that are getting asked about, I think Shea has got to be the most asked player on Twitter this year. I could be wrong, but at least than I've seen, because with him, the question is, how early can people go? And you know, with every player in the NBA, there's a point at which you've now capped out their value. We all know there's no one left in Oklahoma City. We all know he's going to be a usage machine. They lost Schroeder. They lost Gallinari. They lost Chris Paul. They lost Steven Adams. They brought in Al Horford. That's really it. Everyone else is just sort of a young guy being elevated. And, you know, the guys that we don't, at least at this point, know if they have any desire to take and or shoot the basketball. So, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of what he might be able to do, but you're starting to see him go in the second round. And that's the target there. That's where everybody's like, all right, look, if things break the right way, this dude could be a second round value this year. But if you draft him in the second round, there's no room for him to exceed that spot. So, you know, if he falls to the third, I would almost definitely take him. As long as he's hanging around in the second, I want to try to get a guy in the second round that I think can actually beat that mark, can be an early second rounder or a late first rounder even. And I don't think Shea quite has that ceiling yet, at least not until he learns how to be a distributing point guard.
So does that mean that I did okay with my draft? This was the one that Brandon reviewed yesterday without wanting to bore people listening to both. Just give you the first three picks. So I was pick one. I got James Harden. Then at the turn, I took Shea and Nurk. And so the reason, the logic there was, if I didn't take Shea there, he's not going to be there for me at pick 48. So I went Harden, Shea, Nurk. And then when I had my next picks, I got McCall Bridges and who else was my other guy? And Lowry. So I got my, you know, my points assist guys and my MacGyver guy. I love to get my MacGyvers, my Bridges and Rocos and OGs and those kind of guys in the 45 to 65 range. But so Shea at pick 24, okay. Dan?
Yeah, you know, I hate to answer a question with a question, but it sort of comes down to who else was still out there at 24. Like if someone gave me the option of Shea or, I don't know, say like a Vooch, maybe Nick Vucevic, I think I probably would go Vooch, even though he's generally getting drafted a little bit later than Shea so far this year. So I don't have a massive problem with it necessarily. I just like to know, were there other options out there of guys that, at least in my book, maybe could be a mid-second rounder or an early second rounder, where with Shea, I think you probably got him pretty close to where he ends up this year, if I had to guess.
Are there problems with the second round, Dan, drafting this year? You know, SGA in particular, like people drafting him fairly early that, you know, he may be a bust this year, as we spoke about yesterday. Are there other players who people are struggling when it comes to pulling the trigger in the second round?
Oh, guys, the second round has been, and this is multiple years running now. I don't know why the second round is such a pain. There's this weird psychological thing that happens where you get through these very obvious first round guys, and then it's a battle between, do I take this very sort of quiet, plodding, solid top 30 guy, or do I swing for it? And most people end up swinging, and that's kind of where the second round comes in. So guys that I've seen go in the second round lately, Joel Embiid, massive injury risk. Bam Adebayo, who, you know, last year he had a really good season. I don't want to undersell how good Bam was last year, but a lot of his value was tied up in the fact that he played all 65 pre-bubble regular season games for Miami. His per-game value was actually just 39. So he was able to rocket into the second round because he was just, you know, there, which is important. Don't get me wrong. Durability is, as I've said on my show, the 10th category, but there isn't really much upside there. Kevin Durant, big injury risk. Bradley Beal, everyone's wondering, what does the Russell Westbrook thing mean? Devin Booker's going in the second round. Kyrie Irving, Paul George, John Collins, Jimmy Butler, DeAndre Ayton. That's basically your second round this year, and there aren't that many guys in there where you can sort of put a flag in it and say, this dude will get near his ADP. They're very polarizing. Whereas, kind of interestingly, if you look at the third round, you've got guys like Nurk going in the third, Vooch, Gobert, Chris Paul, Siakam, Ben Simmons, Kyle Lowry. These are guys where you're like, oh yeah, those guys will almost definitely be third round picks or even a tiny bit better. So the second round creates this weird artificial bubble of guys. Everyone's afraid to take a guy they think is going to be a quiet third rounder, but there aren't any obvious first rounders left. And so people end up getting a little bit confused. If I'm looking at that second round list and I'm saying, who do I think is probably your safest bet with a little upside? It's probably a guy like a Paul George. I think I'd probably consider a Kevin Durant. I know there's going to be some rest there, but we know his per game stuff. He sort of built in that Kawhi Leonard type mold. And then you reach a little bit farther down in the second round. I think Jimmy Butler, who is also going to rest this year, now that he's getting drafted, you know, 22, 23, last year he missed, I think, a dozen basketball games in a 63, 64 game sample size, and he was still number 17. So, you know, as a nine-cat roto guy, that's generally how I see all this stuff through that lens. The missed games don't bother me as much. Whereas with head-to-head, you have to be so concerned with when the games missed happen and does it cost you a week here and there. In Roto, you know, it's all about rolling it all together at the end of the season. So, I think I'd probably dodge a few of the more risky players in that second round, but also don't be afraid to do what Mr. Jolly did. If you see a guy that you think is going to be locked in and get you that second round number, then just reach down the board 5-6 slots and feel a little bit safer. I know it. You know, it doesn't give you that excitement in your belly the way that taking a Joel Embiid might in the second round, but your team will probably thank you for it at the end.
Mr. J, what's your view on the second, third round? What do you feel in your gut when it comes to drafting around that time?
Yeah, I agree. That third round, I like almost everything there. The second round is, there's a lot of consternation. Coming back to the Shea thing in terms of taking somebody like Vooch, because I took Nurkic, I took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander instead, because the point guard and its big assistant points guys were basically gone. The next best small after Shai was Ja Morant. And if you look at the third round in that draft, it was Ja Morant, Zion, Vooch, John Collins, Donovan Mitchell. I prefer Shai over him. Brandon Ingram, wing, Zach LaVine. None of those guys, Jamal Murray, I would take before Shai. So when I decided to take Nurk, that ruled out Vooch. And it's funny that you brought him up, because my partner in America, shout out to Uncle Logan, who I run a lot of my teams with, he wanted to take Vooch. So who was right, Dan? Should I have taken Vooch instead of Nurk? And secondly...
All right, I'll answer your questions in reverse order, because that's, I live to screw things up a little bit here. In terms of you know, positional scarcity, I'm really not worried about that unless you're the 10, 11, or 12 pick in your league. There's ample point guards and big men that are going between 1 and 8, and then again, kind of coming back between like 16 and 24. If you get wedged in that 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 range, you're going to have to make a choice, and it doubles up a little bit because you have the same issue towards the end of the third, beginning of the fourth round. So don't worry about that unless you're near the end of your draft, and then you will kind of have to make that decision. Do I reach down the board a little bit, get myself a point guard, get myself a big man? In terms of Nurk versus Vooch, I have a slight lean to Vooch, if only because he is more clearly the offensive option on his team. He's the number one offensive option on Orlando. Nurk is really more the third offensive option. He's going to have plenty of opportunities, but Dame is very clearly in front of him. CJ McCollum is in front of him. And with Orlando, Vooch is just going to get more shots. So it's that little usage bump where Nurk can make up for it a little bit with defensive stats. And if his free throw shooting really does take a step forward, but there's a little more safety in knowing that Vooch is just going to have more to do on a night-to-night basis. And I think it averages out to him putting up per-game numbers that are probably about a half round better than Jusuf Nurkić.
Now, speaking of big men and a little bit later rounded big men, and that come out really weird.
Talk about rounded big men.
Yeah, well, big men who have got value later. Mr. J, you put some polls up on social media yesterday. You want to talk about those?
So we asked some of our good friends and new subscribers to the show from various leagues that we play in. Which of these guys would you take before DeMarcus Cousins? The modern round mound of stretching the floor, or whatever you want to call him. Wendell... 100% of people surveyed said they would take Wendell Carter Jr. before DeMarcus Cousins. 80% said they would take Steven Adams before him. 70%, and this was the big argument with my mate Mike Hussey from New York, said they would take Rashawn Holmes. 40%, including me, said they would take Nerlens Noel. And 30% said they would take Serge Ibaka. And 0% said none of these. So all of those five guys, somebody would take them before. Everybody would take one of them before DeMarcus Cousins, and everybody into Wendell. Most people would say Steven Adams and Rashawn Holmes as well. Noel and Ibaka not. What do you think about those figures, Dan?
Yeah, I'm on board with the not Ibaka, mostly because there's just no upside there. He's going to dangle around the edge of the top 100 probably most of the season, so that just won't be that much fun. It'll be fine. But you might as well take a swing at that point. You know, if you're getting Serge at like 115, 120, just take a swing on somebody. I think the other four I would take in front of Boogie. I think he's going to be very unreliable. They're going to give him rest days. He's missed, you know, the better part of 2.5 years with a series of massive injuries. This is not a he's just going to come back and play every night and it's going to be fine thing. He can put up stats in limited minutes. And so that's why you like the sort of swing for the fence stuff. But again, you know, he fits, I think, better with a roto format with a games cap where you can just drop him in there on the nights where you know he's healthy and playing and bench him on other ones. But those days where he's resting, any nagging injuries, they're going to rest him. They're going to kid glove him. So, I don't know if you can take Boogie, at least with any confidence, in a head-to-head league. And then, you know, with the other guys, I think there's argument for a little bit of upside or consistency. So, yeah, I'll go 4 out of 5 over Boogie.
Interesting. 4 of the 5, Mr. J, your thoughts on that?
Well, you already know. I'm taking risky guys at different places. So I've got 3 Kyries. I've stashed Zinger. I'm not against taking risk, but given what I think I can find, and I've learned this from listening to Pounding the Pods, as we like to say, for the last sort of 18 months or so, in a really big way, that you can win drafts. As Dan says, you can lose drafts in the first round, maybe in the second round. You can't win them. You win them in those mid rounds up until maybe round 10 or 11, and perhaps with the flyers you take and working the waiver wire. So I really trust my ability to win drafts in that 6 to 10 range, and I just don't think I need to get DeMarcus Cousins to make the playoffs. That might sound arrogant, but if I'm getting Markel Fultz at pick 85 or pick 90, Nerlens Noel at pick 110. Why do I need DeMarcus Cousins? I don't.
That's fair enough. And look, before we get into the box scores, and yes, they are coming up very soon, only because we've got our esteemed the Podfather, Dan Bespris, with us. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at Dan Bespris, or you can go onto Google and Google Dan from Hoopball. One last question, Dan, and I'll put it to Mr. J first. Balls to the wall, who is your go-to in fantasy? As Matthew Berry from ESPN says, your fantasy ride or die, the one guy who you just can't live without on your fantasy team this year.
Gee, I want to say two or three different names. I will say McCall Bridges, but it's any one of three or four guys who are very similar to him. But I'm going to go McCall Bridges because he's the one who falls to me most in that range of like pick 55 to 80. Like, I don't think I've reached as high as 55 for him, but I would. But he's the one of those guys that comes to me the most.
And Dan, who is your balls to the wall go-to in drafts?
I think everybody knows I'm going to say Tobias Harris. He ends up on
the everyone. The old man brigade.
Yeah, the old man brigade, guys. I know it's so on brand and so terribly boring, but he always falls to me at 60, and his per game numbers are going to be there, and he's going to play in probably 70 of the 72 games. So he's going to beat that mark. Like, he'll get you points in the middle of a draft. He'll do it on decent percentages. I know he's not going to blow anybody away. He's just...
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Decent at a lot of things at an area in a draft where you know, if you've taken a chance earlier, you want to firm it up, make sure it doesn't, you know, you got your guy that's playing there every night. In terms of someone, I'll give a second one here before I got to sign off too. That is a little bit less boring, but equally old. I think I'm going to end up with Chris Paul in a lot of places again. I had him on a ton of my teams last year. And I'm surprised he's not getting drafted earlier. I know he's not the guy in Phoenix, but he took 12.5, 13 shots a game last year. Even if he's like a half shot off of that, he still should beat his marks. I think he's my slightly riskier, but very interesting old man. And then Tobias, who's not old, but plays old, is the traditional Dan Bespris guy.
Oh, Dan, look, thanks for coming on. You will come back again and again. Hopefully, we'll have the Podfather on to give us more insight of the NBA and the fantasy side of things. If people want to listen to Fantasy NBA Today, how can they get a hold of that?
Who knows? Who knows? It's available everywhere podcasts are found. Honestly, really, what you said already makes the most sense. Just find me on Twitter. I retweet the link every day. It's Fantasy NBA Today is the name of the pod. The last name is B-E-S-B-R-I-S if you want to find me on Twitter. That's the landing spot.
And don't forget to like and subscribe, of course, not just the box score breakdown, but also Fantasy NBA Today and all the stuff presented by Hoopball. The Podfather, Dan Bespris, thank you for joining us.
Gentlemen, you're the best. You're the best. I'm so happy to be part of this relaunch of Box Score Breakdown. It's going to be incredible.
To all the ball handlers out there, before you throw on your team's gear, make sure you take care of below-the-waist grooming for yourself. Our partners at Manscaped are here to save your boys from taking on a double team of nagging defenders so you stay clean and take care of yourself where it matters most. Manscaped are here to sink the competition and deliver the best tools for your below-the-waist grooming experience. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting their greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer is simply the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced. Their Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new and improved lawnmower, waterproof, cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you for when you're done quarantining. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with a crop preserver and a crop reviver. The crop preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, which ensures that your afternoon stroll doesn't end with your balls getting caught up to your leg. The crop reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with a soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts. God, this is crazy. And it will give your balls a boost. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. It's a whole new ball game. Get 20% off and free shipping. Take advantage of this limited time offer for Manscaped. All-star lineup and try it for yourself. 20% off free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code HOOPBALL20 when things get hairy in the fourth quarter. Make sure you call on Manscaped in clutch time. Well, Mr. J, I'm pretty stoked. We got the Podfather on to talk all things fantasy. Kind of makes your day. I almost don't want to do the box scores, but I know we have to. So let's get straight into it. The first game that we had that we need to look at is the Cavs versus the Pacers. Now, the Pacers, 106, lost to the Cavs, 116. For Cleveland, 26 minutes, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 3 threes for the Aussie that is Dante Exum. Andre Drummond, 23 minutes, a double-double in that, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Okoro, the rookie, another big minutes, 28 minutes, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Look, the Pacers started off fairly quick in this game and then lost the rebounds. They also probably did themselves over in the from the line, only shooting 53%. But we'll talk about the Cavs and Drummond. Is he looking like a third rounder again, Mr. J?
Yeah, well, this is one of those things. It's funny because Pedro, who was on with us on the weekend, said he sent me a message today saying something like, wait until the season starts and once again we'll see that pretty much nobody knows anything about fantasy. Obviously, he's exaggerating, but one thing I might be seen to know nothing about is I was telling people, stay away from Andre Drummond. I don't like Andre Drummond. But, I mean, if you look at that, 17, 11, 3 blocks, you know, in not the full minutes that he might play normally, that is third-round value if he gets those blocks as well together with the points and the assists. So if the Cavs spruik him, you know, they're saying he's going to be sold off before the trade deadline probably, then he could be massive value at least until then.
And look, the Pacers had 6 3 attempts in the first 2 minutes of the game. Sabonis started absolutely hot, 26 minutes, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Oladipo, 9 points, Two rebounds, two assists, one steal. And Malcolm Brogdon, 25 minutes, 11 points, three assists, two steals, three threes. Sabonis, mate, what do you think?
Yeah, well, the word boner is in his name, isn't it? So that probably gives you a fair crack of understanding what I think. Those stats are pretty amazing. And I tell you what, the only thing he got wrong today was he missed his threes. If he starts hitting them, which is normally Miles Turner's caper, isn't it? Turner's all about blocks and threes. I tell you what, if Boner starts hitting those, he dead. That's Turner is dead.
I know who you meant. And Oladipo, bit putrid today.
He was ranker than septic, mate, I tell you. 2 for 11. Is he ever a top 50 or 60 guy again? Could be an overreact, but he looks very rough, mate. Very, very rough.
Just for a minute, I need to talk about the fantasy pass from Hoopball. And here's the thing. Hoopball is a great website. We all love the content. We love that it exists, but Hoopball needs to keep the lights on. So for a few weeks every year, we sell stuff. This year, the best deal in fantasy is here at Hoopball, and it's called the Fantasy Pass. It's just $4.99 a month and gets you the entire draft guide, the Brewski 150, a DFS pass, and all in-season fantasy tools. That's nuts. Just $4.99, all that stuff. You know what? Cook yourself dinner tonight instead of ordering delivery, and you can afford the Fantasy Pass for half a year. So please do check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com and click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. That is hoop-ball.com. Click on the Fantasy Pass, $4.99 a month. You won't regret it. And our second game, the Raptors 112. Doing over the Hornets 109. We'll start with the Raptors. FVV with a buzzer beater from three. He almost did a pump fake and then hit back on the ground. It was a bit of an amazing effort from the little man, the little bearded man. 22 minutes, 23 points, four assists, three steals, five out of seven from three, and 75%. From the floor, Siakam, 23 minutes, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 threes. OG Anunoby, 20 minutes, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Norman Powell got some 17 minutes, 9 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. And the water boy, Boucher, 14 minutes, 1.8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. They are the highlights for the Raptors. FVV. Do you like him more than Lowry?
I do. It's pretty close, but Lowry's injuries worry me a bit more. Having said that, FVV missed some time last season, but there's a reason that FVV won some finals MVP votes. He's a gunner. He's going to get assists. You get those steals. Look at those three steals. Some drafts, he's a bit of a buzzy guy, and someone loves him and grabs him early, but if he falls to you like at the, I don't know, end of the third round, anywhere in the fourth round, I love FVV. I'm all about that.
And the water boy, Boucher, him and Baines, what do you think's going to happen there between the water boy and the Aussie?
Look, what we saw today, the minute split was 17 to Baines and 13 to Boucher. I don't know if you can what you can read into that, but if you extrapolate that, there's a big word for you, over 48 minutes, it's something like 26 to 22. And we've heard Dan talking about before, if that's what the split is, both of them potentially have value. Having said that, both of them were absolute garbage today. They had 5 points between them. So make of that what you like.
And the Hornets, let's look at their team and how they went today. Devontae Graham, 24 minutes, 13 points, one rebound, one assist, one steal. 1 from 7 from three is a bit yuck. Gordon Hayward, 24 minutes. Is that how many points? I can't even read my own writing. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 threes. One of your favorite sleepers, PJ Washington, 24 minutes, 9.6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 36% from the floor. And of course, the number, what was he, 3 draft pick, LaMelo, 20 minutes, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And look, in the first 2 minutes, had both of his assists, both of them spectacular alley-oops. His first shot was a corner three. He's done okay. DVG, Mr. Jolly, take it away.
Tell you what, though, my hair is standing on end on the back of my neck because can we start with PJ Washington? I'll get to DVG very quickly. PJ, two steals, two blocks. Those small man lineups with PJ Washington, my goodness gracious me. Go grab that guy. DVG, I love me some DVG, especially in points leagues, but 1 for 7 from deep, not so much. The 6 assists, though, if you're punting field goal percentage, go for DVG. The thing to watch, I guess, is just going to be when does LaMelo come off the bench and displace one of him or Rozier? And does it matter? Because the sixth man in Charlotte maybe has some value. Charlotte is a very interesting fantasy team. We should have almost put them in our narratives, mate, because, yeah, really interesting. One of the top season narratives, I reckon, for fantasy.
And the assist numbers from Haywood?
That's beautiful. I mean, 6 assists. That's why you go grab him. You know, like if you want to, if you're feeling a little bit courageous, you're a courageous person, you draft him with glee. Big mid, you know, 5th round or into the 6th round, I've seen him going. Oh, yeah. You know, 14, 4 and 6 in limited minutes today. He's got good percentages. He can hit the 3 ball as well. Yeah. All Gordon Haywood, get yourself some of him.
Into our third game, the Pelicans 114 knocked over the Heat 92. The return of Zion. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. The Heat were 28% from 3, were fairly putrid. The Pelicans won the rebound battle by 16 and a huge fourth quarter by the Pels got them over. Zion, 33 minutes, 26 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists for a double-double for a guy who is pretty soon going to be the number one player in fantasy. That's my red hot tip. Hart had 33 minutes, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 steals. Brandon Ingram, 31 minutes, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. Lonzo, 31 minutes, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 from 3. And Stephen Adams, the Kiwi, get you some fush and chops, 19 minutes, 7 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Zion, wow. You just took him in a points league, didn't you, Mr. J?
My goodness gracious me. We remember Zion. I tell you, this is obviously the story of the day. 10 for 11 free throws. It's game over, Emmanuel Kant. If he can shoot his free throws as well. And a points league getting him at the end of the second round. Wow. But, geez. I mean, there were no defensive stats there, but yeah, the points, rebounds, and field goal percentage and free throw percentage would, if that's decent, amazing. All I can say is big mobs of points from him, as the Aussies say. You ripper, you beauty.
And Brandon Ingram?
Nice. That's all I can say. Nice. He's nice.
He's nice. Okay.
I don't know what I was to say. He's all right. He's all right, Brandon. He's all right. He's a nice guy.
Okay. And we'll look at the Heat and their side of things. Kendrick Nunn, 31 minutes, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 0 from 6 from 3 and a 35% shot from the floor. Tyler Hero, 28 minutes, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 from 7 from 3 and a 50% from the floor. Bam Adebayo, 19 minutes, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. KZ Opala got a few minutes and did nothing. And of course, their rookie Precious, 20 minutes, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Tyler Hero, a value pick, Mr. J?
Yeah, I mean, and he has small forward eligibility as well, doesn't he? So he's got the shooting guard and small forward in most formats, and that multiple position eligibility is nice. He can hit the 3 ball, and I think there's the possibility as well that in the second half of the season, we saw him in the playoffs just get an expanded role. And if Jimmy rests a lot in games, then, you know, Hero, and I see him sometimes going like 75 or 80 in drafts. That just seems like madness to me. I think in the, you know, 60, 65, 70, if you can get him at 75 or 80, gee, that's magnificent.
And game 4, the Mavs 128 defeating the Bucks 112. Dallas had a huge second half and 48% from 3 as a team. They did pretty well. Luka, 29 minutes, 27 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 from 8 from 3. Josh Richardson, 29 minutes, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 from 6 from 3 point. The Aussie youngster, Josh Green, 18 minutes, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 from 3. And the other rookie for Dallas, Tyrell Terry, 4 minutes, 2 points, 1 assist. Luka.
Yeah, well, the place you look with Luka, and this is one of the reasons Dan talks about how you don't win a draft in the first round or maybe even the second round. We win it in the mid rounds and later usually, but you can lose it. You see people taking Luka, you know, very early in 9 category, but look at that. Look at those free throws, 6 for 10, 60%. That volume at 60% is what kills you in that category. How many turnovers were there today? Turnovers are okay, only one turnover, but normally his turnovers are really high as well. Huge volume, amazing, but you in 8 category, sure, take him very early, but in 9 cat, you wouldn't. As for the Joshes, Josh Richardson is the one that was really interesting here, wasn't it? 23 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He's a guy that is being looked over. You can get him, or you know, 10th or 11th or 12th round. That looks very tasty.
And the Bucks, Giannis, however you want to say it, depending on where you're from. Giannis, 27 minutes, 24 points, 14 assists. Is it 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks. Absolute beast effort from Giannis. Brook Lopez, 11 points, 0 rebounds in 22 minutes. Devontae DiVincenzo, 19 minutes. He got 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. And Drew Holiday, 29 minutes, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. What a beast of an effort from Giannis.
Yeah, well, I took him first in the points league today. I'd probably take him, you know, first or very early in 8 category as well if I had the chance, and just go and punt the free throw percentage because, yeah, we can see him really beasting again this season, can't we? What more can you say? As for Drew Holiday, he looks like the captain over there now, doesn't he? Like, he played the most minutes today. I think he had 29 minutes along with Middleton. Drew Holiday looks to be a value pick too. Get very excited about him in Milwaukee, especially sometimes with Giannis taking games off. And, yeah, all about Drew Holiday.
Game number 5, the Grizzlies 123 over the Timberwolves 104. Let's start with the Memphis had a big first quarter, 36-22, and sort of ran away from it. So let's start with Memphis. Ja Morant, 26 minutes, 17.7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, only 50% from the line. Brooks, 24 minutes, 21.6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Not a trendy name in fantasy. In fact, a lot of people are poo-pooing him. So it'll be interesting to see. Jonas Valanciunas, 24 minutes, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 1 from 3. And the rookie, Desmond Bane, 16 minutes, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, got busy in his limited minutes. Ja Morant, how high does he finish, Mr. J?
I don't know. Can I answer the question with a question? Why do I not have any Ja Morant in any league?
I don't know. You'll have to answer that. I know I grab him on the odd occasion, but I almost see myself moving towards some more experienced guys at the point guard position around that time.
Yeah, well, look, tasty today, though. The 17, 7, 7, 2 steals. The flaw with him is that, you know, free throw percentage is not fantastic. 1 for 2 from 3. I mean, he's potentially, if he's amazing, he could be a second rounder even. That's probably the ceiling this season, but there's the third round potential. I think he's just because he's so buzzy, I'm usually grabbing Fred VanVleet instead or somebody like that, and someone else grabs Jar. Or I'm taking Shea Alexander at the turn, and then I don't need, I just picked first the last couple of drafts. So I've taken Shea with Vooch or with Nurk or something. So I'm not going to take a point guard, and I don't pick again until 48. So if I picked a little bit later in the third round and he was there, I think I would take him. He looks very good.
And Brooks, he's on your do not draft list, I understand. What would it take for you to draft him?
A whole season of him not being him. Yeah, I mean, he's just going to destroy your field goal percentage probably, and he'll have some good games. He's the guy who just falls in and off, you know, in and out of the waiver wire in competitive 12-team leagues. You're almost certainly going to see him on the waiver.
And the T-Wolves cat, 27 minutes, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 from 7 from 3, and only a 25% field goal percentage. D'Angelo Russell, 24 minutes, 19 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 1 steal. And the number one draft pick, Anthony Edwards, the Ant-Man, 26 minutes, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 28% from the field, and only 1 from 7 from 3. Mate, Ant Edwards, you know, looked a bit rough, came off the bench. Your thoughts?
A bit rough. He was 4 for 14. That's very rough. I'm just curious about him. Has a rookie ever won Sixth Man of the Year? Because if he does sort his field goal percentage out, he's definitely going to have the volume of shots. That's for sure. I mean, he's got the second most shots today. He's not shy, is he? The only person with more is D'Lo, and he's probably one of the top gunners of all time. Shout out to my son, D'Angelo. You go gunning, son. Leave the defense to somebody else. Leave it to somebody else, because Anthony Edwards and D'Lo aren't going to do it.
And Kat, only 25% from the field today. Your thoughts, Mr. J?
Well, he's not going to go 3 for 12. If he goes 6 for 12, his line today is 20, 10, and 5 in 26 minutes. That's 33, 15, and 8 over 36 minutes.
I've said it a few times. We all love a bit of a flutter. I'm going to get that out there. It's not just an Aussie way of saying bet, flutter. I'm going to get it out there. My bookie, great place to have a flutter, put on a bit of a bet. You know what? If you did not feast on their Turkey Day free play that allowed users to grab themselves a risk-free bet of up to $250, it was basically a free shot at doubling your money. If you didn't get on that, what are you doing? But seriously, now is the time to get some skin in the game with MyBookie, where odds boosts, lightning deals, and free bets await all season long. And with the NFL playoffs right around the corner, we know who these teams are. We know what they're capable of. It's not difficult to find some value in those lines. Whether you're a first-time customer or have been playing with MyBookie for years, there is no shortage of value to be found in these thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and contests they offer every week. Sign up or get reloaded today. Find an edge and make your bet and get paid. That's right, get paid. They boast a fully-fledged casino platform giving you access to all the classic tables, slots, and card games you'd expect to find at your local spot. And the best part is, at MyBookie, the doors never close. So continue to build your bankroll even after the stadium lights have gone out. Make the right play and sign up today at MyBookie. And when you do, use the promo code HoopBall to get your deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in $200 and they'll match you with another $100 in your account. If you are already planning to bet this season, this is betting free money. It's winning season at MyBookie. So come on and join in on the fun and win some cash while you're at it. And the Suns 92 to the Jazz 111. So obviously the Jazz got up. But we'll look at the Suns first. Booker, 28 minutes, 27 points, 4 rebounds, no assists. Very odd. Mikal Bridges, who we mentioned a little bit earlier, who was Mr. J's fantasy ride or die, seemed to fall to him all the time. 28 minutes, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. 2 steals, 3 from 8 from 3. Didn't get to the line today, and neither did DeAndre Ayton in 25 minutes. He also got 4 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, and 28% from the floor. And Chris Paul saw the floor as a Phoenix Sun, 17 minutes, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and he had 28% from the floor as well. Nice to see Chris Paul in a Suns uniform, Mr. J.
And he's one of the narratives, isn't he? Like, where does he end up hitting? Seeing him falling in some drafts quite a bit, like, you know, you can get him, if you get him in the 40 to 50 range, gee, that's that looks like a value pick. As for Mikal Bridges, look at those counting stats. 2 steals, 3 three-pointers. You got to love that.
And the Jazz, Rudy Gobert, 28 minutes, 11 points, 20 rebounds, 2 assists, 7 from 10 from the line. Donovan Mitchell in 25 minutes got 15 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 from 5 from 3. Bojan Bogdanovic, 26 minutes, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 from 7 from 3. They were just launching them, the Jazz. Mike Conley, 27 minutes, 16 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 threes. And Aussie Joe Inglis, what a legend. 24 minutes, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 from 5 from 3. Let's start with Rudy Gobert, Mr. J, 20 boards.
Well, he's the chairman of the boards, isn't he, with that? What do you say, 20 boards? That just won you the rebounds for the week. Imagine if you're playing against that in head-to-head and you see him get 20 rebounds.
Even in Roto, that just puts you so far up in one game.
Yeah, like, well, look, I mean, there are guys who do 20 and 20. Capella had 20 and 20 games last season too, or 17 points, 20 boards or whatever. Like, they might have 5 or 6 games like that on the season. But, yeah, Gobert is an old man squad guy. Dan's been talking about him. You can get good value with him because he's falling sort of later into the third round sometimes. So if you don't get a center in the first round, as Dan said earlier, then Gobert looks a good pick in the third round.
And Donovan Mitchell, people are grabbing him in the second, the third round. Never finished any shorter than 40 in fantasy. Your thoughts on him, Mr. J?
He's another one that I don't have. I don't have Ja, I don't have him. And I think part of it is just because I've fallen in drafts, I've normally taken a point guard, like a high scoring, high assisting point guard in the first sometimes and the second round. Or 2 of my first 3 picks into early in the third round, and then I wouldn't go and pick him earlier than 40. And so by the time I've got picks come back around to me, he's usually gone, and I'm getting my MacGyver guys like, you know, McCall Bridges and people like that at the 4th and 5th, Oubre, those kind of guys who I just think they're gonna give me extra stuff. Like we can see here with Mitchell today, 1 steal, no blocks. But what do we get from McCall Bridges? So I'm not going to reach to get, Donovan Mitchell. And then by the time he comes back around to me, he's gone anyway. So I don't see him, finishing in the top 35. I would prefer, if you want to take somebody like that, I would take Jamal Murray instead, personally.
All right. So that's it for today's games. We look forward to tomorrow. Who have we got coming on as our guest tomorrow, Mr. J?
Well, we've got Steven Vidovich coming on, or as I call him, Stevie V, coming on tomorrow. Dan said this about him. He's rapidly moving up the list of guys that can do just about anything. He's earned a much bigger platform. And that means us, mate, because, we're the huge Aussie guy. So he's coming on with us. He must be good.
I look forward to it. Also, tomorrow's game, we've only got 3, but highlighted by the Celtics and the 76ers, both having their first hit out in the preseason. So look forward to that one. Don't forget, hit subscribe. And if you like us, you can rate and review us. Give us 5 stars. You can also hit us up on Twitter. I am at TheHarlander23 and Mr. Jolly. They can find you.
Mr. Jolly of Sydney.
All right, thanks very much for joining us. G'day. Hope you've had a fantastic day. A big thanks to our guest, Dan Bespris. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Bespris. We'll catch you guys later. Bye for now.
Take care and get some Zion on your fork.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, learning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.